We come now to God's Word this morning. We're continuing forward in our series on the Gospel of Luke. This morning we'll be in Luke chapter 11. We'll be reading together verses 27 through 36. So I invite you to turn with me in your copy of God's Word or in your pew Bible to Luke chapter 11. We'll read together verses 27 through 36. Let's give our attention now to the reading of God's Word. As he said these things, a woman in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you, and the breasts at which you nursed." But he said, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it." When the crowds were increasing, he began to say, "This generation is an evil generation. It seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah. For as Jonah became a sign to the people of Nineveh, so will the Son of Man be to this generation. The queen of the south will rise up at the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them, for she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, something greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, something greater than Jonah is here. No one after lighting a lamp puts it in a cellar or under a basket, but on a stand, so that those who enter may see the light. Your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light, but when it is bad, your body is full of darkness. Therefore, be careful, lest the light in you be darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, it will be wholly bright, as when a lamp with its rays gives you light." Brothers and sisters, this is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we come now to your word, asking for your help. Asking for your Holy Spirit to shine into our hearts, Lord, that he would illuminate the truth of your word to our hearts. That he would give us the eyes to see, that he would give us the ears to hear, that he would give us the hearts to receive the truth of your word, Lord, and keep it and treasure it and live in light of it. Speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. In Jesus' name, amen. There are certain disadvantages that come from being dependent on GPS. In fact, for many in my generation, we never learned how to navigate without using an application on a phone. It's a bit of a problem. It became clear to me this past weekend when our family was making a trip up to Florence to run some errands. Somehow, some way, even though I've made that trip dozens of times now up to Florence to run errands, somehow I missed my exit. And so we kept driving on 95. We got off at the next exit. We turned around and came back the other direction. But somehow, again, I found myself trapped in the wrong lane and I missed the exit again. Now, if you had been a fly on the wall in that car, you probably would have had some serious questions about my sanctification. But what happened? Let's look back at the tape. Why had I got lost? Contrary to what I wanted to believe in the moment, the problem was not the quality of the directions that I was receiving from my loving and gracious wife. The problem was not the way that the roads were designed. The problem was, as Allie graciously informed me, "Daniel, you just weren't paying attention to the road signs. The signs were there, but you were not looking at them. You were distracted," and that's true. I was not paying attention to the road signs that clearly showed me where the exit for Florence was. I was not paying attention to the road signs that clearly showed me which lane I was supposed to get off on when I was coming back the other way. I was not paying attention to those road signs, and so I lost my way. And as we come to God's word this morning, we find Jesus confronting a group of people who were missing the signs. Not the signs on the side of the road, but the signs of a hardened heart. And because they were not paying attention to the signs, they were desperately lost. And the worst part was that they didn't even know it. These people had been seeing Jesus work powerfully among them, miracle after miracle after miracle. They were hearing him preach the good news of the kingdom of God. They were hearing Jesus and they were seeing Jesus, but they were missing Jesus. All because their hearts were hardened towards Jesus. You see, beloved, make no mistake, you can hear Jesus and see Jesus and still have a heart that is hard towards Jesus. And this makes sense of so many of the struggles that we often have as Christians, as those who seek to follow Christ. If you've always wondered, why do I struggle so much to follow Christ in the way that I know that I should? I know I'm supposed to follow His word, but oftentimes I don't. Oftentimes I follow the desires of my heart. I know that I'm supposed to be quick to forgive, but I'm not. I hold grudges and I harbor bitterness in my heart. I know I'm supposed to be quick to confess my sins and to repent, but oftentimes I'm not. I quickly defend myself. I justify my sinful behavior under oftentimes the guise of good intentions. What's going on? If you've been wrestling with these realities and you feel like you're beginning to lose your way, this passage is one for all of us to pay attention to. Because these struggles can be warning signs for us that even though you're hearing Jesus and you're seeing Jesus, your heart may be hardening towards Jesus. And in this passage, Christ is calling out to you today with a word of grace, with a gracious warning, calling you back to the green pastures of His mercy, grace, and forgiveness. And He's promising to give you the grace to help you in your time of need. And if perhaps you've never asked these kind of questions at all, perhaps you're desensitized and hardened to the effects of sin in your life, or perhaps as you sit there, you say to yourself, "What sin?" This again is a gracious word of warning for you as well, because we find Christ in this passage exposing in the crowds around him, exposing the signs of a hardened heart, calling them to pay attention to them, calling them not to miss the signs before it's too late, before they're lost forever. In this passage, Jesus shows us two overarching symptoms, two signs of a hardened heart in the form of two metaphors: deaf ears and blind eyes. We'll deal primarily with the first sign this morning before turning to the second sign next week. The first sign of a hardened heart that Christ exposes in this passage are deaf ears. That's what we see as our passage begins in verse 27. If you look back there with me, verse 27. "As he said these things, a woman in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, 'Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts at which you nursed.'" This woman clearly has been moved by the teaching of Christ. She cries out with emotion, enthusiasm. After hearing the cries of doubt and skepticism from our passage last week and the previous passage, you might expect that Jesus here would respond positively to this cry of religious enthusiasm on the part of this woman. But Jesus' response here shows us clearly that when he speaks the word of God to his people, the response that he's looking for is not simply enthusiasm. It's not simply emotion. As he says in verse 28, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it." You see, those who would receive the spiritual blessing that comes from hearing God's word and have it work in their lives, those that would receive the spiritual blessing that comes from God's word must not just hear God's word. They must hear God's word, and as Christ says here, keep it. More literally, what this word means, more literally, we must receive the word of God like a precious treasure that we guard and hold on to. And what Christ is saying here to us this morning is that you can hear the word of God, you can receive the word of God, you can even respond to the word of God with enthusiasm and emotion without ever keeping and treasuring and guarding the word in your heart. You can hear the word of God, but not hear the word of God. You can hear the word of God with deaf ears, hearing but not hearing, hearing but not responding in the way that the word of God demands. As an illustration of this, I want you to just imagine that in the middle of this sermon, you begin to hear the fire alarm go off in the sanctuary. You begin to hear the fire alarm go off. Now, what would you do? You would hopefully get up, leave the sanctuary, please collect your children, and we'll meet outside until we know that it's safe. Because a fire alarm shows you danger. You would not, I hope, sit there doing nothing with your arms crossed, saying, "Wow, what a loud fire alarm we have. If there was a fire, I would know about it. This must be a new fire alarm. It's so great. In fact, I like this fire alarm so much, I'm just going to sit here and keep listening to it." Now, why would that be ridiculous? Because that's not the response that a fire alarm demands. When you hear a fire alarm, it does not demand your interest or your enthusiasm or your admiration. It demands your action. Any other response means that even though you're hearing the fire alarm, you are not hearing it for what it is, and therefore not responding to it in the way that you should. That's what Christ is saying here to this crowd as they listen to his word. He's telling them, you are not hearing my words for what they are. Again, remember the context here. The context, Jesus has just declared definitively through his words and through his action that the kingdom of God has come upon this people. That the true king of the universe is here, and it's Jesus, that he is the true king who has brought his promised kingdom of salvation and peace. How then are you to respond to the voice of the true king of the universe? How should you respond to the voice of the great I am, to the Son of Man, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, whose kingdom is an eternal kingdom that will not be destroyed? How are you to respond to the very same voice that spoke creation into being? Not just with enthusiasm, not just with emotion or even interest, but with obedience. With a heart that says, "Here I am, Lord. What is your will for me?" With a heart that hears and submits and responds to the voice of Jesus for what it is, the voice of the King. Any other response to the voice of Jesus, to the good news of his gospel of salvation and life, any other response indicates and is a warning sign of a hardened heart, that you're hearing the word of Christ with deaf ears, hearing but not hearing. Now, what does this look like practically? We just need to keep reading because Christ explains to us the responses that he's looking for. What does it look like to hear the word of Christ with deaf ears? In verse 29, we'll look back there. Verse 29. Christ calls the people gathered around him an evil generation. As the crowds are increasing, he calls them an evil generation. It's not exactly a program for church growth. He calls them an evil generation. Why? Because instead of receiving and obeying his word, they continue to do what? They continue to demand a sign. The word of God from the mouth of the king is not enough for them. They want a sign. And Jesus tells them, I've already given you a sign, and he points them to two different signs here. I've already given you an example to follow, to show you why you should respond to my word. In fact, he offers two examples here. The queen of the south, or the queen of Sheba, that's who we understand this to be. The queen of the south and the prophet Jonah. What did deaf ears look like? They're contrasted here with these two examples. The queen of Sheba. She was presumably the queen of a kingdom in southern Arabia. That's what we believe, a kingdom in southern Arabia. We read in 1 Kings chapter 10 that she came from a great distance to hear the wisdom of Solomon, to hear from his voice the wisdom of God. Christ here in Luke 11 says that she came from the ends of the earth. This was a great distance that she crossed at great cost, great sacrifice, just to hear the wisdom of the king. And Christ says here, this example of the queen of Sheba will rise up against you in the judgment. Why? Because she was desperate to hear the wisdom that came from the voice of the king, and you are not. You see, one of the signs of deaf ears is that even though you might have an appreciation for God's word, you might have an interest in God's word, you might even pay lip service to God's word, all that being said, you consistently ignore the wisdom of God's word. Yes, you give lip service to the importance of the Bible, the validity of the Bible, even the truth of the Bible. But when faced with difficulties and challenges, even when faced with correction, when you have a difficult decision to make, you turn away from God's word, away from the wisdom of his word, and will not do what it says. And this so easily creeps into our hearts. Here's what this sounds like. It sounds like, yes, I know what the Bible says, but I know better. We know better nowadays as civilized people. Yes, the Bible says that, but that doesn't apply to me, to my specific situation. Yes, the Bible says that, but I have this private sign, this private revelation, this private spirituality that keeps me from having to obey the truth of God's word. To say it another way, a key sign of ears that are deaf to God's word is that more often than not, you try to be wiser than God. You try to be wiser than God. You try to be wiser than what his word says. The big question for us, beloved, is where do you functionally go for the wisdom to live your life well? Where do you functionally go for the wisdom to live your life well? Are you desperate for the wisdom that Christ offers you in his word? Or do you time and again fall back and rely on worldly wisdom? Relying on what other people say, what other people do? Relying on worldly wisdom? Do you time and again listen to the deceptive wisdom of your heart instead of the wisdom of the word of Christ? Here's why this is so dangerous. As Christ says here in verse 31, something greater than Solomon is here. Or more literally, it just says, greater Solomon is here. You want wisdom? You want truth? Look to Jesus. There is an endless, bottomless cistern of wisdom to be found in the person and work of Jesus Christ, to be found in his gospel. As Paul writes in Colossians 2:2-3, this was his heart for the church as they're being led away by worldly wisdom. Here is his heart and his prayer for these churches, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Beloved, when you hear Christ speaking to you through his word, by his Spirit, you're promised that when you come in faith, you will receive the riches of the treasure of the wisdom of God poured out to you in Christ. You see, the wisdom of the world, it cannot compare to the riches of the wisdom of Christ. But then Christ offers another example, another sign, the sign of the prophet Jonah. He says this in verse 32, saying, "The men of Nineveh will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, something greater than Jonah is here." If you've been wondering, okay, so what is the response that Jesus is looking for? What is the response that Jesus is looking for in this crowd? What response is Jesus looking for in me primarily as I come before his word? He just said it. Repentance. Over and over and over again, Jesus will bring this point home for the crowds that followed him, for those listening to him, that the primary response to the message of his gospel, the primary response to his word, is repentance. If perhaps you've been wondering, why do we hear so much from this pulpit about repentance? Why do we talk so much about repentance? It is because Jesus talked so much about repentance. You cannot escape it as you read the Gospels over and over and over again. The cry of Christ the King is the cry to repent and believe the gospel. Jesus was a man on a mission. And as we've said before, that mission was not to come and pat good religious people on the back and tell them that they're doing a great job. His mission was to seek and to save that which was lost. Lost sinners, lost religious people, to seek and to save that which was lost by calling sinners to repent and believe in him as the only Savior of the world. And so just as when Jonah the prophet went to the people of Nineveh after the whole issue with the fish, when he finally went to the people of Nineveh and he spoke God's word to them, telling them that in 40 days God would destroy their city, and they heard that word of God as the word of God, and they turned from their evil ways, they put on sackcloth and ashes, and they repented. So too, this generation of the people of Israel should hear the word of God exposing their sin, exposing their hypocrisy, exposing their hard-heartedness, and humble themselves in repentance. But they will not. And that is why the men of Nineveh will rise up at the judgment with this generation to condemn it, because they repented at the word of God, and this generation will not. These crowds will not. You see, beloved, one of the primary things that God intends to do in you as you come to his word, as you read your word as you read the Word of God privately, when you come to hear the Word of God preached on the Lord's Day, one of the primary things, if not the primary thing He intends to do in you and work in you, is to expose and convict you of your sin and drive you to the cross in repentance and faith. Over and over and over again. That is what God intends to do in you by His Word. That is what Christ intends to do in you by His Word. Because Jesus loves you. And He knows the path of sin leads to death. And He came that you may have life and life abundantly. And so time after time as you come to His Word, He's calling you away from your sin to the cross to find mercy and grace and forgiveness in the blood of your Savior. Do you realize that every time you open your Bible, Christ the King is on a mission to seek and to save what is lost in you by His Spirit? If you belong to Christ, that is His sovereign mission in your life, is to enable you by His Spirit to put the death, the sin that's at work in you, to again and again call you away from the dangerous path of sin and towards life in Him. And so one of the most dangerous places for you to be as a Christian is to be clearly hearing the Word of God expose your sin, and to have those warnings and those calls for repentance just bounce off your heart. That is perhaps the clearest sign that you are hearing the Word of God with deaf ears. That when God, by His grace, calls you to turn away from your sin in repentance, you will not. That when you hear the fire alarm of God's Word alerting you to the spiritual danger of your sin, you just sit there doing nothing, hearing but not hearing. A very clear diagnostic for whether you're hearing God's Word correctly is this. Do you tend to approach God's Word, whether that be hearing preaching or your own personal reading, do you tend to approach God's Word as a good person looking for affirmation of your goodness, looking for a spiritual pat on the back, encouragement that you're doing all the right things and saying all the right things and you're good? Or do you come to God's Word as a humble sinner, expecting and praying for again and again to be led to repentance and faith in an all-sufficient Savior, realizing you're not good and searching for the glorious grace of Christ found in His Word? As we come to close, we notice something significant about these two examples here. It's not an accident that as Jesus is speaking to this crowd, again, of primarily Jewish people, primarily good religious people, what kind of examples does He use? He uses two examples of Gentiles, non-Jews, to condemn their response to His Word. Here's what He's doing. He's contrasting the response of godless heathen people. People who you would think do not belong in the kingdom of God. But yet, when they hear the Word of God, respond in repentance and faith. He's contrasting that with the response of good, religious, well-behaved Jewish people who know all the right things and say all the right things, but yet will not respond to the Word of God in repentance and faith. And He's telling them, these godless heathens that you hate so much and that you judge in your hearts, these godless heathens will be your judge on the last day because they heard the word of God and responded in repentance and faith, and you will not. You see, Christ reserved his harshest words not for the godless heathen, but for the religious hypocrite who will not repent. Just to bring this home for us today, here is how the words of Christ would sound in our context, right? If Jesus were speaking to a group of good, religious, church-going people from the Bible Belt of America, he would say, I want you to imagine a homeless, drug-addicted young woman from the most liberal part of the country you can think of, the kind of person who's lived a sinful, debaucherous life of sensuality and pleasure, the kind of person you warn your children about becoming, the kind of person you feel immediately superior to in every way, the kind of person who would seem does not belong in a church, who seems so far away from the kingdom of God. That young woman, if she repents of her sin and turns from it and trusts in Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior and clings to his cross as the blood runs down and cleanses her and covers her and sanctifies her, that young woman will be forgiven and cleansed and accepted and adopted into the kingdom of God because of God's pure grace. And you, good religious people, if you will not repent, that kind of person will be your judge on the last day. That's the word of Christ to you today. Because she heard the voice of her Savior saying, come, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And she came. And we will not. Oh, beloved, this is a word of grace for us today. This word of Christ to us is a word of grace. What grace it is to have God's word expose the hardness of our hearts. What grace it is to have Christ expose the deafness of our ears, to show us the danger of the path that we are on, and call us back to life in him. You see, beloved, there is hope. There is grace, even for fickle, hard-hearted people like you and like me. And our hope is that Jesus Christ came to seek and to save people like us. He went to the cross for the godless heathen, and he went to the cross for the religious hypocrite. His blood covers the irreligious sinner and the religious sinner. Christ lived the life required of us. He died the death that our hard-heartedness deserves. And so when we repent of our sins, no matter how hearted we have become, no matter how long we've stopped up our ears, when we trust in Christ, we're promised that we'll be forgiven. And we're promised that his Holy Spirit will soften our hearts and fill us with a love of Christ that surpasses all knowledge. You see, it's never too late to hear the word of Christ and treasure it. And Christ is calling out to you today. And as we heard from Psalm 95 this morning, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Amen. Let's pray. Oh, Father, help us. This is a difficult word for us to receive. Father, it's so easy for our hearts to harden towards your gospel, Lord, for us to think better of ourselves than we ought to, for us to think more of our wisdom than the wisdom of your word, Lord, to shun repentance, to cling to our sins. Oh, help us, Father. Let us hear this word from the mouth of our Savior as a word of grace, saying today, when we hear your voice, not to harden our hearts, but to come before you humbly in repentance, turning away from our self-righteousness, turning away from our self-sufficiency. Oh, Father, help us. Pour out your Spirit among us, that we would not hear your word with deaf ears. Oh, unstop our ears, Father, that we would hear your word and receive it in faith and repentance and obedience to your will for our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.